The leave was soon over, however, and I was back on board Venturus as she was reloading ammunition. She had been fitted with director gear and paravanes while in dry dock. Next day, I went to the magnetic hut on the jetty to take the bearings as Venturus swung to test her compass out in the stream. We were needing them for the next operation, which consisted of a WP stunt with the whole flotilla present, including Gabriel, the new leader of the slow division. 2 days later, we left for an operation in Heligoland Bight, but had to return owing to bad weather, and the same happened the following day. These false starts were rather annoying, but we got away successfully on the third attempt. We used the southern entrance to the Bight and laid mines under rather unpleasant conditions, the night being inky black and the seas rather steep and broken. On the way home, while taking the morning watch with the junior sub, I saw Abdul hoist green flag, indicating a submarine had been sighted to starboard, and the flotilla immediately formed, lined abreast, and went to action stations. But no more was seen of the periscope. After we had returned to base and loaded up with tested mines, we found that a small group of dredgers had a small job to do in a corner of the basin, so we penned out and moored in the stream. This proved to be a fortunate move, for we were able to get underway in half an hour when an urgent signal came from Admiralty. It was hardly the kind of night we would have chosen for setting out on mine-laying operations, but apparently risks had to be taken to get this particular job done. The flotilla slipped and proceeded down the Humber in the early evening, and it was dark by the time we altered course to starboard along the War Channel. It was then the full force of the wind struck the ships and made them heel over. In the darkness of our bridge, I could just make out the line of our foremast as it swept in a great arc over a sky studded with stars and racing clouds. Down in the wardroom, there was no chance of rest, with chairs adrift sliding to and fro, and with the sound of the mines as they bumped and strained noisily overhead. Our course lay a little east of south, and dawn saw us within sight of the island of Texel. The scene might have been a seascape by Van Riesdael. Steep seas in the foreground, with hailstorm driving towards the coast, and a patch of brighter light on the island showing quiet farmsteads and the moving sails of windmills. We laid our mines so that it just reached Dutch territorial waters and then set course for home. An underwater detonation shortly afterwards led us to hope in our innocence that we had accounted for a U-boat, but we had no confirmation of this hope. In the growing light of day, we passed close to the Terschelling and Hark's light vessels, and by the early afternoon had entered the East Coast War Channel near to Lowestoft, along which we made a quick passage to the Humber.